Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. It's quarter number three, and as promised, we are going to talk about that depth chart that came out over the weekend. Well, we'll talk about both the depth charts that came out over the weekend, and we're going to start quarter number three with the offense. Now, I know a lot of you want to hear about the special teams and some of the things that were on that, but we'll get there with the defense. Let's start with the offense, though. And, Dustin, I have my depth chart in front of me. And with my yellow highlighter, I marked the things that stuck out to me. Now, the first thing to realize, and a lot of people didn't notice this, but at the bottom of the depth chart, they mentioned this depth chart does not reflect the OR status for positions. For those of you who aren't aware of that, an example was last year, for running back, it was always Ricky Slade or Journey Brown or Noah Kane or Devin Ford. Now, they put in the or, meaning they weren't ranking one above the other, but it always turned out the order that they presented them, that's the order we saw the players in. So if Ricky Slade's name came first, he was the starter. So with that in mind, Dustin, I want to start at wide receiver on the offensive side because I think that's where most of the question marks were. Everyone figured, you know, Jahan Dotson was going to be a number one. What did you think of the other two guys that they had as number ones?
Yeah, so Daniel George, I think that qualifies as not a big surprise. You know, we've discussed him numerous times and his prospects for 2020 and I think the idea being that it didn't happen for him last year. Not a lot of opportunities. He didn't do a lot with them when they did come his way. So, you know, it was a very quiet year where there was a possibility for maybe not a breakout, but to establish himself as kind of clearly a wide receiver for the future. That didn't happen, but it doesn't mean that it won't happen. He's still just a redshirt sophomore. I think he's going to flash sooner than later. So, you know, for him to be a top and looking at the guy, Cam Solomon Brown and Keandre Lambert behind him, I mean, that could be an interesting competition moving forward. And then on the other side was probably the bigger surprise, I guess, with TJ Jones and then John Dunmore. No or between them. This depth chart as a whole is based on what I would say is incomplete information because they didn't have spring reps and practice to judge. There wasn't a lot of opportunity to make moves from the winter, to this point, but still TJ Jones probably comes as a huge surprise to some people, but I remember when he committed, loving what his high school film looked like. And one of the things that stood out to me was just a pretty powerful runner after the catch. And I think that's an interesting skill set to view in all this because I think when it comes to that particular skill, he might be the best on the depth chart at that. So I don't think TJ Jones came as a huge shock to me personally, other than the fact that we didn't spend a lot of the last year discussing him.
You know, Dustin, a lot of times we project our own opinions out on these type of things, and if we don't have playing time to tell us what's happening, we do things like we go back to star rating or what our impressions were of players a year ago. And John Dunmore, who came in as a four-star receiver out of Florida, much higher ranked than TJ Jones, who came in as a three-star wide receiver, also out of Florida. So our natural inclination was to say, oh, we assume Dunmore will be that guy who will step up. But there's one other thing, and TJ Jones seemed to be the forgotten guy. We just haven't talked about him. But one thing I would like to point out, On the listing of the depth chart, TJ Jones is listed at 6'1", 200 pounds. I went back and looked. Coming out of high school, he was listed at 6'1", 185. So that's 15 pounds that he put on, and I'm assuming those are 15 good pounds. And I know that's not the be-all, end-all, but that shows where they looked at this kid, 6'1", 185. We would have said he needs to put a few pounds on too, and it looks like he did that. So that's kind of an indicator of how he's been working in the training room. So it is interesting. There's a long way to go between now and September or whenever they start the season, but that was the one that stuck out to me. While we're still talking receivers, we all know tight end Pat Freiermuth is the guy. The question was, who's next, Zach Kuntz or Brenton Strange? Were you surprised that Zach Kuntz was listed number two?
I mean, not really. Behind Pat Freiermuth, you know, the three guys are listed in their order of experience. And if there were oars on this depth chart, one of the things I would have been most intrigued by was I would anticipate an oar between Kuntz and Strange. Would there be an oar between Strange and Theo Johnson? That would be my big question. But I think they filed them in here based on experience. And I do think that coming out of the winter, this is probably how they would have gone. Strange didn't get that opportunity to really make his mark. Theo Johnson entered with a shoulder injury, so I'm not sure how much he was able to get a chance to do in the winter, or would have gotten to do with spring practice. So I think there's a possibility for that changing, but I also don't think it's a big surprise that the most experienced of that trio is currently listed behind Pat Freiermuth. I think that's what everybody wants to happen. That's what fans should want to happen too. You should want Zach Kuntz to start to make good on those interesting skills that he has. In the passing game is that big catch radius. You would love to see that in action. So I think a lot of people should be hoping that this is how the order remains.
Well, I also think, Dustin, you're right in that there very well could be an or between Zach Kuntz and Brenton Strange. And I believe that part of this may be how Kurt Schiracha looks to use them, and it may be situation-related. Maybe in the red zone where you're looking for that tall receiver to make a play, maybe that's when Zach Kuntz comes in. Maybe on third and short where you're using tight ends, maybe then it's Brenton Strange as the second tight end. So this is another situation where it's going to be real interesting to see how Kirk Shiraka chooses to use these guys, and it may be situation-based. When you get to the starting offensive line, I don't think there's any surprise with the first five that we kind of assumed would happen with Rasheed Walker, Mike Miranda, Michael Mennett, C.J. Thorpe, and Will Fries from left to right. What I found interesting was the listing of Juice Scruggs, number two at center. It's great to see his name there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good to see him back in a position where Penn State's going to be relying on him, which your second string offensive lineman at any position, you're going to be relying on them. And so, yeah, it's helpful to know where he's at, you know, and he's the heir apparent to Michael Mennett at that spot. I think in general, left to right, looking at who the reserves are, Dez Holmes at left tackle, you know, Sal Wormley and Nick Dawkins at left guard, you're going to skew young as your reserves there. Curious to see how much playing time those guys might get. Anthony Wigan working at right guard. You know, he's a big guy, 6'4", 320. Caden Wallace being the next guy up at right tackle. Bryce Effner being listed only at tackle behind Caden Wallace. But I think just in general, I think you should look at this offensive line depth chart and feel pretty good about where things are right now, but also the contingency plans that are in place, and really, I think the future of that depth chart as well. It looks pretty bright to me, depending on the development of some of these guys like Wormley and Dawkins and where Caden Wallace is and all that. But I think plan A, plan B are looking pretty good in 2020.
And You know, I did highlight Caden Wallace's name. It looks like, especially having him set there behind Will Fries. Now, you know, this is Will Fries' last season, no matter what. And it definitely looks like Caden Wallace is set up as the heir apparent to Will Fries at that position. So that's interesting to see. And that also is a situation where you're not necessarily by experience, you know, where Bryce Effner, who is a year ahead of Caden Wallace but falls behind him in the pecking order, that tells you that Caden Wallace has impressed. The only other one, Dustin, that I had highlighted was looking at the – we all know Sean Clifford's number one quarterback. We know Will Levis is number two. The two players that came in last season, Taquan Roberson and Michael Johnson Jr., there's got to be some discussion. Where are they in the pecking order? I would have assumed that would be an or if they had the ors in there. But right now they have Taquan Roberson listed third ahead of Michael Johnson. Do you read anything at all into that?
I do believe that there would be an or there, but I think there's a reason that Roberson is listed ahead of Michael Johnson Jr. If you're in a pinch right now, you need an emergency quarterback. Roberson, I felt like, entered the college ranks with a higher floor than Michael Johnson Jr. He seemed to understand, you know, and have a better feel for the nuance of the position, all the intricacies that come with stepping up to more complicated defenses and faster defenders and all that. Michael Johnson Jr., I still believe, has the higher ceiling. You know, the question is, at what point, you know, does Roberson's floor and Michael Johnson Jr.'s ceiling intersect? Is there a point? Because it's not like Roberson's a bad athlete or anything like that. He's a little on the small side. I think that Michael Johnson Jr., when it comes to him with the ball in the open field, he's a pretty electric athlete. But we all know that there's a lot more to playing that position than just being an electric athlete. And I think right now there seems to indicate a trust in Roberson that if one of these redshirt freshmen needed to play tomorrow, there would be more trust in Roberson than Johnson Jr. I think that's reflected in the depth chart as we see it now.
Yeah, I think so too. But what that leads to is that delicate balance. Quarterback is the position that probably has the highest ratio of people entering the transfer portal. And when you have two quarterbacks in the same class, that's quite a little dance that you're doing to keep them both happy and content. So anyway, that's it for quarter number three, a look at the offense on the depth chart. Next quarter, we're going to look at the defensive depth chart.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.